The First Testament lesson is taken from the book of Amos, chapter 5, verses 21 through 24, and you may follow along on page 854 of the Old Testament. I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our New Testament text comes from the opening words of the sixth chapter of Matthew. We're looking at verses 1 through 18. It continues our look at the Sermon on the Mount. So let us listen to the word of the Lord. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So, whenever you give alms, don't sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you're praying, don't heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And whenever you fast, don't look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The word of the Lord. They are the four words that no contestant on Dancing with the Stars wants to hear. You really entertained us. Now, just to set the scene, many of you may not watch Dancing with the Stars or be really aware of what it is, but Dancing with the Stars is this show where they get a bunch of celebrities and they team them up with professional dancers who are also professional choreographers. And what they do is that the people are supposed to learn how to dance. Okay? So you would think that when they come before the judges who critique their dancing, and one of them says, "You really entertained us," that would be a good thing. But what it actually means is, you can't dance at all. It means, you did nothing right for me to compliment, and everything is so wrong, I don't know where to begin. So what I'll do is I will tell you, you really entertained us. And sort of what that means is that the people knew the steps, but they weren't dancing. And I'm not sure if I can even sort of describe it, but if you dance at all, you get the difference between someone who walks the steps and someone who's actually dancing. So Cindy and I call them either steppers or stompers, because you just get it. They're not really dancing. And for me, as I was reading this passage over the last week or so, that image kept coming back to me. The difference between just doing the steps and dancing. Because what God calls us to do is to dance. We are called to dance before God. Because what God has done is God plays a tune. And this tune is the tune of love and grace and forgiveness. It is the tune of compassion and justice. It is the tune of transformation. And what we are called to do as followers of Jesus Christ is not simply go through the steps to the tune. We are to let the tune just come alive within us and move us so that our whole being, our mind, our heart, our hands, our body moves to the tune that God is playing for us, the tune that we are called to dance to. But the danger for all people of faith, for all, whether it was Judaism or Christianity, is that familiarity doesn't necessarily breed contempt, but it breeds complacency. That sometimes we become so familiar with the steps that we forget that what we're about is dancing before God. And this is what the Amos passage is about. In this text out of Amos, the people know what the steps are. You are to go to the temple. You are to give your sacrifices. You're to give your offerings. You're to go back home. And you're to do it over and over and over again. But what Amos says is, sure, you're going through the steps, but you're not dancing before God. Because, as he speaks for God, justice is not rolling down like water. Righteousness is not flowing like an everlasting stream. For Amos, that is what dancing before God looks like. That it's not just the steps. And this is part of what I think Jesus is dealing with in the Sermon on the Mount. Because Jesus understands that everybody, every good Jew, knows the steps. Okay? And here are the steps. You give alms. You give to the poor. It's a mitzvot. It's a good deed. You pray. You pray three times a day. Any good Jew would pray at least three times a day. You fast. That there are particular moments within the Jewish calendar in which fasting is called forth. Those are the steps, and they all know the steps. Every good Jew knows them. The problem is, just like the people with whom Amos is speaking, there are those moments when you quit dancing And you just go through the steps. And so what Jesus tries to do in this part of the Sermon on the Mount, I believe that what he's doing is he's not necessarily just sort of critiquing them, but like a good judge on Dancing with the Stars, he is helping them to see how they can actually become dancers. And he offers several sort of concepts or techniques, if you will. The first is that when you do these things, when you practice your piety, your faith, you do it in secret. Now, I realize that may sound kind of strange because, after all, here we are. And we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to, But I think what Jesus was trying to tell them was when he's talked about doing it in secret, what he's saying is your only audience is God. Your only audience is God. Over the years of being in the ministry, I've noticed a couple of things that often happen when I ask people to sort of do a religious thing in public, whether it's sort of to lead in giving or it is to pray in public. Sort of one of two things happens. One, people get embarrassed. They don't believe that their prayers are eloquent enough or powerful enough, or they know what they should say. There is this sense that maybe they don't have enough to give. And so they are hesitant at all to sort of do anything publicly, and so they don't do anything at all. Now, the flip side of that, and this is especially true among us clergy, though I have met laity who do this, is that when someone asks us to pray, we think we have to pray the whole Bible. Okay? We have to go on, and we have to be eloquent, and we have to say all of these things. But the problem with both of those is we forget that it's for God that we are giving alms. It is to God that we are praying. It is for a deeper relationship with God that we fast. It is that God is the only audience. And so what Jesus says is, do it in secret. Do it in secret. The second thing I think Jesus is getting at here is he wants us to keep it simple. Simple. It is always amazing to me how we human beings can take very simple things and make them very, very complicated. Any of you ever see that in life? Okay. Things that ought to just be easy as pie, we just make it so you don't even want to do it. And for me, one of these is prayer. That Jesus describes prayer as being this very simple thing. He lays out the Lord's Prayer, a very simple prayer. Probably takes less than a minute, less than 60 seconds to pray. And yet, we as human beings... Okay, so I'm from Texas, right? Every other street corner in Texas has a Bible bookstore. All right? And in those Bible bookstores, there's an entire section on prayer. How to pray, when to pray. My favorite was one that was how to pray to make sure you get exactly what you're praying for from God. It had the technique, so you made sure you got what you wanted, all right? But what those books do is they tend to try and convince us that all of these things are so complicated. That prayer is complicated, that giving is complicated, that fasting is complicated, that you have to have a book to explain it to you. And Jesus just says, this is sort of Nike Christianity, just do it. It's simple. Just give. Just pray. Just fast. It's all simple. The last is sincerity. that that's part of dancing, is being sincere about what we're doing. And for many of us, I think this idea of sincerity is probably one of the most difficult. And it's one of the most difficult because we think sincerity equals feelings. Okay? See, if the choir knew it, I'd have you sing Feelings, you know, by Barbara Streisand. But, I mean, we've become this society that thinks that unless we feel something deeply, we're not necessarily doing it sincerely. Oh, if I forgive someone, Jesus talks about forgiveness. I don't feel the forgiveness within me, so I must not be forgiving. No, forgiveness has nothing to do with feelings. It has to do with actions. How we treat someone in the future. And authentic, and you know, this being authentic about it. What this is about is saying, I know this is what God calls me to do. I know this is the right thing. And so whether that comes out of the heart or out of the mind or out of habit, whatever it is, it's being authentic. And I realize that there are times when that's really hard. When we really don't feel like doing what God calls us to do. We really don't feel like giving or praying or fasting. And that's okay. The question is, will we do it? Will we keep at it? Will we keep at it because we believe it is good and right, and this is what we're called to do? That's being authentic. That's authenticity. We are called to dance before God, even if we have no rhythm at all. We are called to hear this amazing tune that God offers us, and we are to allow it to infect every part of our being. And as it infects us, it will move us to do those things. And that's the challenge. The challenge is to not just go through the steps, not just to be a stepper or a stomper, but to dance. Even when it's hard, even when you don't feel like it, allow the music, the tune, to touch you. And so the challenge I want to leave you with for this week is to ask yourself this question. How am I allowing this tune God plays for the world to move me from moving through the steps to dancing before God? How am I allowing this tune of grace and compassion and forgiveness and love to move me from just going through the steps of faith to dancing before our Creator? Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you call us to be infected by grace, to be filled with love. Allow all that you do for us to attune our hearts to you, that we might dance before you and show your love and grace to the world. We pray this in Christ's name.